All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. All right, hey everybody. You're listening to American Vindicta. Let's get straight into it. Oh, when does tragedy strike? Tragedy strikes when no one expects it. As soon as you get comfortable, Murphy's Law comes into play. Anything that can happen, can, and will happen. Anytime you've had any type of horrific loss in your life, a tragedy, a unsuspecting emergency, we all tend to take it to the emotional extremes. And for many of us, rightly so. For the parents of the children in Uvalde, Texas, it is rightfully so to take the emotions into the extremes. I do want to say this, and I want to be heard clearly when I say it. I support the police. Always have. And until we turn into Nazi Germany, I always will. But one thing I do not support is indecision in the moment of tragedy. We have all learned over the past weekend that the Uvalde District School District Police Chief was the one who made the call for the 19 officers to not go in while the shooter was currently murdering children. Now, I can give you procedure. I can give you tactical reasons for why you would want to wait for a shield, for why you would want to wait for other things to come up, but that is only during a hostage situation. Apparently, as it was unfolding, the chief, who was the incident commander, thought that, and this is what we're being told, that possibly there was a hostage situation happening, and for that reason, he did not know that the children were being massacred. So he told the officers to hold, and also the officers were taking fire from the room with an AR-15 from the shooter, and that it was possibly too dangerous to enter the door. I'm going to break silence as to what most law enforcement officers would say, and I'm not going to cover for anyone. I don't mean to armchair quarterback this, but it needs to be said. When you put on the badge and the gun, the vest, when you pick up the sword to defend the people, you are knowingly putting your life in danger. And when it is the innocents who rely upon the resistance to evil by strong men armed with guns, and they fail us and do nothing, then what does the public have for a means to combat evil? We entrust law enforcement to do the hard job of combating evil and criminals. But when they fail us, what are we as a people to do? Obviously, there is outrage, and it is very much warranted. The governor of Texas and lieutenant governor were lied to by the law enforcement officers that were there, And that is why the Texas Department of Safety, the Texas State Troopers, have had to take over on the investigation. And now it's being handed over to the Texas Rangers. All I can say is that I hope justice will come out of this and that this will never occur again. But herein lies the problem, is that this very well can happen again. When you are faced with a situation where you have the ability to save one's life, but all you have to do is go through a door, knowing your life could be taken, what are you to do? Did you kiss your family goodbye that morning, them knowing that though you're getting in the, you know, you got your uniform on and you got your duties you got to carry out, you get in your police car and you roll away, you know in the back of your mind you may never come home. But you took the job and you rolled the bones. You knew the risk. That's why you're supposed to be trained to handle these situations. You're relied upon by the public to be able to handle this situation in an orderly fashion. And yet, what do we have to deal with right now? A tragedy. One of the many tragedies is the indecision of capable men. How many times have we seen in history when there was an indecision by capable men, men who had the means to solve a problem and chose to follow orders, even to the extent that you could be taking your own life in your own hands by disobeying orders? I relate back to what happened with the story of the order police in Nazi Germany. Regular police officers who were more or less conscripted by the SS, who did not resist Nazism and chose to go along with rounding up and executing members of different ethnic origins or different countries, and then bringing these people to extermination camps. These men had the ability and the choice to do the right thing, even though it most certainly meant their own death. And they chose to follow orders. I want to think not all of them did. But what is a couple of guys who chose to defect when the rest of everyone else followed the order? 19 capable men could have went into there, taking their own lives in their own hands, knowingly. And I'm just going to speak to you from the heart. I just can't understand how none of you said, screw this, we're going in. We're not following that order. Who cares if a shield is coming? Even back in 2007, and I think they updated the whole immediate action rapid deployment for active shooters, that new way that we should be trained upon. It was highly recommended for every single agency to provide a ballistic shield and a long rifle for every officer. I can tell you right now, that did not happen. Has not happened. But where is all the funding going? Did you have to have new uniforms? Did you have to have the new radios put in? Did you have to have new laptops? Did you have to buy as many bullets this year to keep up with training? A ballistic shield, guys, it's about $2,000 or $3,000. $2,000 or $3,000, that's it. About as much as a normal police officer's duty gear. between all the magazines, a long rifle, shotgun, and a pistol. What about the body armor? Has every agency provided every officer at least level 3 plus or level 4 plates and plate carriers and ballistic helmets? Oh, to go with that, you may want the communication that goes onto those ballistic helmets and the adapters to go on your radios. Oh, you also may want training for that. But how many agencies, even here in Texas, has had the ability to send their men to training or to buy the equipment that they needed? I am calling for an investigation into every single department across Texas. As a citizen of Texas and as a taxpayer, I demand to know, how trained are my officers, and how well are they prepared for the next tragedy? How many of them have the proper medical equipment and medical training, consistent training happening year-round? How many of them know the proper way to handle themselves in a use of force situation so that we don't get another George Floyd, you know, where we have a slight overabundance of an excessive force, or maybe just not having the care for the prisoner or the person we've detained? I hear that argument all the time, and I give validation to that argument. If you've ever been in the middle of a dog pile, you can lose your breath very quickly. You can still speak and say, I'm losing my breath, and lose your breath and then not be able to gain it back. There needs to be a command decision made by somebody in every department. Our guys need to be better trained. Our guys need to be better equipped. And maybe the training and the equipment will add into the bravery for why some of them are not fulfilling their entire duty. Now, I don't know any of the officers that were there. All I can tell you is that being in law enforcement for 10 years, I don't care if I have a shield or not. I don't care if it's a damn flamethrower on the other side of the room. If someone's life is in jeopardy, I know that I have surrendered my soul to Christ. I'm okay with dying. I don't think about myself. You don't have the ability to think about yourself. When we were in combat in the military, if one of your boys was hurt, you did what you had to get them. And we saw that repeated over and over in Iraq and Afghanistan. Where do you think these medals of honor came from? And when I hear congressmen and politicians and other guys that are podcast hosts, and I'm not going to name anybody, that are commending the officers and what they did for what they were able to do besides the massacre, I just have to give pause and shake my head. You know, sure, they were able to evacuate other people. But until the entire investigation comes out, we're left with what we're told. Did officers really go in and rescue their own children, bring them to safety, and then stand there and allow 19 children die? I don't want to believe that. I don't want to believe my officers did that, because as a Texan, those officers are mine. They're ours. They're our police. They work for us. We work for them. That's how this symbiosis goes. Well, I was taught a long time ago in law enforcement that the police police the population, and the population police the police. There's always a level of checks and balances. If not, you get what happens in Russia and Nazi Germany and China and every other communist and dictator state that's out there. But what happens? What happens when we have officers that think of themselves first and the victims last? I don't know if that's what happened on Uvalde, but guys, you gotta understand the way the rest of us looks at this right now. You had the ability to do something. You had the solution to the problem sitting in your holsters, which I could only guess was in your hands. And even though you followed an order, you allowed people to die? It's okay to disobey an order. Yeah, you'll get in trouble for it. Who cares? But the wrong decision was made. Was there not one person, not one senior officer there who said, screw the chief, we're going in? The first time you heard the gunshot, you should have broken through that door. And I don't care which way the hinges faced and how hard it was to get in or out, you should have crawled through the false ceiling above the hallway separating the wall of the classroom and you. If there was one, most schools have a drop ceiling that you can just crawl right over. You know, if not, then I understand that. But you could have found a way. Not one officer had a Halligan tool or some sort of a breaching tool in their car that you could have just ran back to your car and went and grabbed and came back, started breaching that door. You could have been yelling to everybody, get on your face, we're going to start shooting. Even if the freaking shooter did the same thing, do something. That is what is expected of you. At the least bit was to do something. Is the most these grieving parents get is that we're sorry for your loss. We wish we could have done more. That's not good enough for them. That's not good enough for me. I have to put myself in this situation. If it was my child, gents, either I'm going to beat you through that door, or you would have had to arrest me, and good luck with that one. You would not have stopped me from getting my child, or stopping the shooter. I'm not sitting here aggrandizing myself. I'm just telling you, this is what I would have done. This is what I expect parents to do. This is what I expect my law enforcement to do. But you tarnish the badge every time we get done polishing it. That has been the repeated problem with law enforcement. And now, whoever lied to the governor and lieutenant governor, good luck. They got your name. They got your ass for lying, for changing the truth. The investigation will be done. Somebody will be hung out to dry for this. Just because you made a bad decision or a good decision at this point is irrelevant. You made no decision. That's another thing we say in the military. I don't care what decision you make. If we're in a crossroads, go left, go right, turn around, go back the way we just came. Don't die in the path of indecision. Do something. One of the things that used to echo in my mind all the time was something that my sergeant major told me one time. That in the path of indecision, left foot, right foot, repeat. Keep moving forward. Close with and destroy. Where was that for Uvalde? And now where is that going to be for the next shooting? Where is that going to be for the next time law enforcement accidentally kills a civilian? Or is that going to be for the next time we use too much force? We are grilled every day in the court of public decision. Gents, we call ourselves law enforcement professionals. We need to return to that level of professionalism. And here's another thing. I'll get off that for right now. I at this point, I think all I'm doing is harm. Honestly. I can complain until I'm blue in the face. I could find these officers, ask for a little school circle, and chew every one of them out. But what is that going to do? It's not going to bring anybody back from the grave. But I demand accountability. Texas demands accountability, and those parents demand accountability. We have the most corrupt government in the American history who's demanding accountability. But it comes on a very unique price now. A very unique price. Their accountability is not for the officers and the supervisors and the indecision, the bad decision to do nothing. Their accountability now comes out to all Americans that the guns are the problem, not the crime, not the single families, not the mothers and fathers plagued with their own sins that then their children suffer for, and then the mental health that is really one of the biggest problems in this country right now, or the suicide, or the family violence, or the violence in our streets amongst the youth, the indoctrination of radicalism amongst the youth, the indoctrination of violence amongst the youth, from the video games to the movies, to the music. We're effectively dividing ourselves right now. Effectively. There has always been a we versus them in this country. There's always been a we, those who want to be left alone and follow the Constitution, and them who want to break the Constitution and rule over us. And as they like to say, never let a good crisis go to waste. So what do we see now? We see now the motions of taking advantage of a crisis. That's the gun laws. That's your gun reform. That's your assault weapons ban. You're not going to stop it. You can take all the guns from every law-abiding citizen. Someone will find a gun and they will kill people. You know why? They'll just travel to Mexico and buy one. I'm not going to state anything other than this, but a long time ago, when I worked for the government on the East Coast, I had friends of mine that were special agents joking about how, oh, I take you to the right store and I can buy an RPG, a rocket-propelled grenade launcher. We have weapons all throughout this country. But there's even more on the border. And they flow back and forth, just like the sex slaves, that trade that goes back and forth, just like the smuggling of human traffickers and drugs. You're not going to stop that evil and violence. Even if you build a 100-foot wall, it'll find its way in. At some point in time, you're going to have to arm good men and set them loose upon evil men. That's the only way you're going to fix this problem. That's the way it's been done throughout history. I call for, at least in my state, if not every state, that every single school should be putting a responsible person who is held accountable to the highest count. and trained with a gun and a plate carrier, a helmet on them, look the part. Put them in your schools. We at least want to deter people. We at least want to defend the property. We want to deny the taking of innocent life. But where is it? Some schools have their own police departments, and that's great. Some schools don't, especially in the very rural areas. But the real big problem now is going to come from what happens after Buffalo and Uvalde. What happens on the precipice of the next active shooter? We got at least four more to go before November to do something. That's what I keep thinking in my head. We got at least four more active shooters to hit the number 8. I don't know why. I was just praying and that was the number that came in my head. And I think that is going to be the straw that breaks Congress's back, and they're finally going to draft up a bill for an assault weapons ban that'll most likely start with the manufacturers of the weapons and the ammunition. They'll probably tax the ammunition to the point that it'll just be ridiculous to buy it. Federal law can change very quickly and, you know, supersede the Constitution now, I guess. They'll declare a state of emergency. We need to do it for the children to make America safe. We have to do something. That's what they're all saying right now. We have the ability in Congress to do something. We should do it. Our constituents rely upon us to keep them safe. Really, assholes? Is that why you send rocket launchers, tanks, battleships, $40 billion worth of ammunition and all kinds of fun toys over to Ukraine where it's used on their own populace? What about the kids in Ukraine that get killed every day or from every major assault from the Nazi Azov battalion whenever they're facing the Russians? That's blood money. You don't hear a peep from that. Instead, these depraved human beings will then go and get their pictures taken in Ukraine, in these disaster areas, not knowing how many kids have died since you've been there. All that rubble you stand on, Dan Crenshaw, you got your cool picture. But if you helped send the guns over there, you helped with the innocent blood that was shed as well. I didn't send guns. I didn't send money. I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to be any part of war. Again. I've already been there, done that. Don't want to do it again. But I'll be damned if I send my money over there. Instead, you don't ask for my permission. You just send my money over there. Innocent blood is being shed around this world right now. By every means and availability. It's not just by guns, it's also by bombs, it's also by mortars, it's also by mines, it's also by knives and sticks and fists and feet, people being strangled. Why don't we outlaw rope? Rope is probably one of the biggest culprits in the world for people who hang themselves during a suicide. Why don't we save all lives and we ban all rope? Because it doesn't make sense. Because nobody makes money off of it. Somebody is going to make money off of banning guns. That's how these people work. They're not going to open up the oil fields and lower the gas prices. Instead, they're going to give grants and money to their buddies who are going to have this new Green Deal, who will then give a kickback to the politician. That's how they make their money. You see? Oh, we can't have a runaway greenhouse effect with all the CO2 everywhere. I mean, we could plant more trees, which does absorb the CO2, but that won't make anybody any money. No, we'll put up solar farms. We'll make all these new different ideas that really cost the environment just as much as anything else that's happening in the modern industrial world. We're not going to make any differences or any headway because somebody has to get paid at the end of the day. If you want real changes, it'll save lives, and then it'll make you inadequate eventually. That's why these people will continue to promote war. They'll continue to promote strife. They'll continue to promote division and derision. Look, listen to AOC. Everything going on right now is the man's fault. All the school shooters, that's the patriarchy and the evil white man. That's all their fault. I'm sorry, Miss Socialist. I believe socialism and communism has killed more people collectively than asteroids hitting this earth so far. You know, I cannot spare the time for stupidity at this point in my life. And when I have people that are in Congress or that are in some agency of power, to include law enforcement, and then to have these deprived people working there, I can't give thought anymore for why you still work there, for why you think you're doing good. We all know that you're not, just like the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Starting Insurrections. America sees what you're doing. The world sees what you're doing. The world knows about Hunter Biden's laptop. The world knows about the 2,000 mules. The world knows about the stolen elections and the fake Russian probes. Oh, Russia did everything. Yeah, we know. We understand the lies now. But what do we do about it as Americans? What can you do about it? You can vote these people out of office if you believe that your vote counts anymore. Or does that only deter people not to go and vote? I'll give you one option we can do collectively. We can sit down and pray. We can pray that God will descend from heaven on our behalf and fix our nation. But we can also do something about it. You can arm yourself. You can get trained. You can be prepared for what life throws at you. You never know when the next tragedy occurs, but you can be as prepared as possible for that tragedy. Listen, I know there's a lot of people who listen to me who have their kids in public school or a charter school or a private school. All I can tell you is that I do not trust the government. I do not trust when they say that they have our best interests at heart. I do not believe the military is capable of thwarting an invading army anymore. And I do not believe that our law enforcement can effectively defend the Constitution and the people therein while we have incapable and competent leaders in law enforcement. And that's from the local, state, and federal. Most especially federal. I do not have faith in my Senate. I do not have faith in my Congress. I don't have faith in my Joint Chiefs of Staff. Hell, General Milley, head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, was the same guy who said, I'll call my buddy from China and give him a heads up if Donald Trump intends to invade or have any type of military intervention. What would have happened? Let's go into the past. What would have happened, General Milley, if China had decided to invade Taiwan under President Trump's presidency? Would you have called the Chinese general and gave him a heads up of what our forces were about to do? That's called treason. That's sedition. That is actually prosecutable to the point that you can be put to death. And the fact that this guy even made these phone calls and is still in power should tell you who is in power and just how deep that power goes. It is a dark power. There is a spirit of darkness over this nation. There is a spirit of evil indoctrination spreading across our country. And it seems to affect the people in power the most. The people that we give power that do the least to benefit us, but do the most to benefit them. I'm not against politics. I'm not against our way of government. We have the best form of government the world has ever seen. But we have the most corrupt people in it. The father of all lies, Satan, has put his emissaries in charge. And it's because the Christians have dropped the sword. We picked up the plow. It's time for peace. It is never a time for peace in this nation until Jesus returns and ends the entire dispute. We are in a state of war. From Adam to Revelation until Christ returns and throws the false prophet and the Antichrist into the lake of fire and then Satan along with them. We are in a constant state of war. And that's why I say it every day. Every day you walk outside your house, you walk into a war zone. You just might not be shot yet or shot at. You better take it serious. You better take your safety serious. You better take your own ability to go out and get training for yourself or your family serious. To include myself. There are things I haven't taught my family. There are things I haven't taught my children. Mainly because I'm complacent. Because they're tucked here at home. They're safe. Daddy is home. I'm not gone anymore. So in my head, I say, well, as long as I'm here, my children will be safe. And that's not true. I could have a heart attack right now and die. What will my children know? Every opportunity and every second that you have to benefit your children, you should be. And every time we ignore them and give them their video games and let them be on the internet, let them play in imagination land, is one more missed opportunity where we could have trained our children to be better for the future, to be safer, to be wiser, and to extend their probability of surviving the next tragedy. I am furious at what happened in Uvalde. I am furious. I was up until 1 o'clock in the morning last night, reading my Bible, praying, and thinking about what happened in Uvalde. Just making sure that I don't sound like the echo chamber of idiots across the internet and mainstream media. 99% of the people who are speaking right now with this compassion for what happened, most of them never carried a gun in their lives. Most of them never signed their name away on that imaginary check. If I die today, I do it in defending my country. So I only say this, and thank you to everyone who emails me. I love every one of you. I pray that God always keeps you safe. I don't say what I say in order to get a thank you for my service. I'm not that guy. I don't need to be told. I want people to snap out of it, to get away from this fog of war that has blanketed everybody's eyes. I want you to snap out of it and realize you live in a very dangerous world. Many of you will go your entire life without ever seeing that element of danger. Praise God. Praise God that some men and women were raised to get their hands dirty for others. But for everyone out there, I'm not just talking about active shooters. I'm not just talking about, at this point, law enforcement and military. Any natural disaster that could happen, or you're out camping, hiking, you get lost. Where's your training going to come in? You're out jogging that same trail near the mountain all the time, and out pops the bear or the mountain lion. Where's your training? Where's your gun? Did you have any protection on you that day, or did you decide, no, today's the day I'll be complacent? You know how many times I have pulled over people being on their phone, swerving from one end of the highway to the other, running people off the road, pull them over and ask them a very simple question, sir or ma'am, are you okay? Are you having any type of medical problems? Oh, no, officer, what'd I do? You went from lane 1 to lane 4 in like 3 seconds and almost caused 10 wrecks. I didn't know if you were stroking out or not. Are you distracted? Were you on your phone? Half of them will tell me yes, the truth. Half of them would tell me no. And all I would have to say is, I watched you on your phone. I was one of the people you almost hit. And then that look of, that wash of, oh shit, I just lied to a cop comes over them. Doing the right thing even when nobody is watching. My wife gets on to me all the time. And I give her the same excuse all the time. For 10 years, I learned how to talk on a radio, read a text message, send a text message, look at an email, check my computer, watch the road, multitask, right? Still shouldn't do it. Even now, you know, I still do it occasionally. And she's right there cracking that whip. Stop doing that. You're not Superman. Yes, ma'am. I get it. I screwed up. I shouldn't be on my phone. But we need to be holding each other accountable. This is a national call out for holding each other accountable. The good old buddy system. Do the right thing even when no one is looking, right? Every chance you get, you should be doing something that you progressively learn with, that you're making yourself better, making yourself a harder person to kill, right? That's your training, that's your physical training, the way you eat. The other part of that is just spending time with one another. We don't do that enough anymore. When I hear of these tragedies, it makes me do a lot of self-reflection. This is a great time right now for everyone to be doing their own self-reflections. What could I be doing better? I was listening to an old podcast from Russ Dizdar earlier today. You know, I miss that man incredibly. I wish I could have met him. But it just reminds me how we are here one day and we're gone the next. Leave a good impression on people's lives. My goal here with what I do, and I'm sure you've heard me say this before, I don't want to be a celebrity. I'm not trying to be a celebrity. I don't want to be rich and famous and be this world famous talk show host. I do not care about any of that. I want to spread the truth of what I know. And tell men and women in America especially around the world, all of us who are Christians, to snap out of it. Let me be your voice of reason, at least. Snap out of it. Now is not the time to be playing games with God. Snap out of it. I want you to listen to something that is very disturbing coming from our politicians right now.
200 mass shootings. Over 200. We're barely halfway through the year. And when we're looking at an epidemic of hate where people are being targeted just because of who they are, I think we all have to stand back and say, wait, enough. Enough is enough. A harm against any one of us is a harm against all of us. No one should be left to fight alone. And we got to deal with this. And we have to deal with it in a number of ways. But I went through it even at the church. You look at it. Everything from Buffalo to what's happening just with those babies and the teachers being killed in Texas. The funerals haven't even really begun in terms of mourning that loss. We're looking at, on the heels of that, Atlanta just a year ago, Orlando, the Tree of Life. We have to agree that if we are to be strong as a nation, we must stand strong, identifying our diversity as our unity. And that anyone who is trying to break that down is hurting us as a country and as individuals who should identify as one, as a country, as Americans. So I think of it in a number of ways. There is the tragedy of the personal loss that each of these families has faced. Mrs. Whitfield, the funeral today, what a beautiful woman who lived an extraordinary life. I met with the other families. There were community leaders. There were a father of an infant. And then, of course, the president is going to go tomorrow to Texas and be with the families who have lost their babies at a school. You have to be of a certain age to buy a six-pack. We are a society that is governed by rules, most of which were designed, those rules, to, at the very height of the purpose, prevent against harm, to promote safety, and to have a common order that we all agree, a civilized society should agree to, that ensures that there will be safety and that we can prevent chaos. When we've had over 200 mass shootings in our country already, and we are barely in June, let's all agree. We got to do something. It's within our power to do it. Congress needs to act. And what I know is that we also have to come together as one nation, undivided, standing with each other.
That was Vice President Kamala Harris. Now let me ask you something. A Congress who is coming out saying that boys can be girls and girls can be boys. A Congress who is giving money to communists and dictators. A Congress who is allowing the open borders and the influx of criminals, terrorists, and human traffickers and sex traffickers into our country. A Congress who will completely disregard what happened with Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. A Congress who completely disregarded that Barack Obama spied on then President Trump, candidate Trump. A Congress who completely forgot what happened in Libya with Hillary Clinton. A Congress who has shown us time and time again that there is no justice for all. A Congress who right now is holding political prisoners from January 6th, but released every person of the domestic terrorist organization named as Antifa and Black Lives Matter, released them from custody, released them from federal crimes and felonies. Yeah, sure, they kept a few. Oh, by the way, I know that the ones that we did prosecute, at least two of them were mentally handicapped people. I know. I was there serving the warrants on them, talking with them after we had arrested them, shocked at what was in front of me. Your Congress does not have your best interest at heart. There may be a couple of congressmen here and there that are good people. And I don't want to say anybody's names. I'll say that there, I can probably count at least 10 congressmen that I think are worth their salt. The rest, I would not trust the rest of them to dig a ditch properly. Unless it benefited somebody else, which would make them rich. Your Congress has failed you. Your Senate has failed you. The President has failed us and is continuously failing us. But instead, their goal of how to fix everything is to how to punish everyone. But yet, when they come for your guns, they won't surrender theirs. The elite won't surrender theirs. The Hollywood people, the celebrities, the governors, lieutenant governors who get their own police escorts, your congressmen and senators who have their own personal bodyguards or who can hire anyone to protect them. Those higher-ups that are out there, they have their own escorts. Guys like me, do they surrender their guns? Absolutely not. But they expect you to do it for them, for the children. Put the mask on. It's for the children. Give your guns to us. It's for the children. Trust us. We'll protect you. You didn't protect us in Uvalde. You didn't protect us in Buffalo. That's not, in a lot of these active shooter situations, you can't blame police for not being everywhere in a split second. But occasionally when we're wrong, guys, we're wrong and we got to own up to it. And we got to do our best to never let it happen again. But at least in the level of law enforcement, we can make that difference. Because the people can hold us accountable and we can have our asses fired for it and sued for it. But what about Congress? You can't do nothing to Congress. Even when you try to vote them out, they're still there. Unreal. They publicize these tragedies. Here's another example before we leave.
19 children and two teachers were murdered inside their classrooms, classrooms 111 and 112 at Robb Elementary in Uvalde, Texas. In each incident, the shooter was an 18-year-old male. The murder weapon in each incident, a semi-automatic rifle, AR-15 style firearms. Are we at a social change tipping point? Because that's what it's going to take for lawmakers to pay attention when the people speak and speak loudly.
Well, as someone who's been embedded with the U.S. military many times and has seen these weapons in action, I believe firmly that they should be no place on American streets. You should not have military assault weapons, never mind in the hands of mentally unstable people. But 18-year-olds, even Wyoming, Arthel, which is one of the most pro-gun states in the nation, does not permit guns to be sold to young people under 21. And one-third of the states have similar laws. So why can't we as a nation do this? I think this is the moment.
Let me play some sound from former President Trump at the NRA convention in Houston, Texas, which happened 4 days after those babies and their teachers were killed at the school in Uvalde. Let's listen.
Once they get the first step, they'll take the second step, the third, the fourth, and then you'll have a whole different look at the Second Amendment, which is, by the way, totally under siege. But even if every decent and honest American gave up their guns, the criminals would never give up theirs.
Your reaction to former President Trump's sentiment?
Well, I think that President Trump may have misjudged the mood. Former President Trump may have misjudged the mood of the nation on this one. I think the very fact that he chose to appear at the NRA assembly at this point, so soon after a shooting, really indicates that he doesn't really have his pulse his hand on the pulse of the nation. People are outraged. I mean, if it was one of their children, the senators or the congressmen, would they not take a different position? Does it have to actually hit home before people?
I think one thing that really indicates why I don't listen to Fox News anymore is because you cherry pick bits and pieces of what former President Trump said at the NRA convention, and then you have this extremely hostile person to the Second Amendment on your show giving excuses for why constitutional rights should be abolished. And then Fox News, you approve of this, you allow it to be played for the entire world to see, and you don't redact it, you don't change it, you don't strike it, you don't say what we don't believe in what this person says, we won't have them back on the show. You ran with it. That means you're complicit. Fox News is complicit with what comes. Mark my words. They will talk you into it. They'll give you every reason why it's a good idea. Hopefully Tucker will stay true. Listen, folks. I say the same thing to you all the time. Stay prepared. But just think about this. How many of you right now, if you were given permission to go to every single day of school with your child from kindergarten to their senior year of graduation, you're allowed to accompany them and escort them with your gun on you? How many of you would do it? Or how many of you would say, I got other things to do? My child's security is not that big a deal to me. If given the opportunity, I'd just take my kids out of the school system. Not everyone has that opportunity, and I understand that. But for those who don't have that opportunity, you better give us a better ability to defend our children. All right, I'm done for today. I'm unhinged. I hope you are too, America. We can't put up with this BS anymore. And I'm not going to put up with the lies from the politicians. There is no deserving of pats on the back today for anyone. My name is Doug Thornton. This is American Vindicta. I'm out of here. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.